My name is Laurens Jacht, and welcome to Cybersecurity Talks, the interview podcast for cybersecurity professionals and for those who aspire to become one. Join us on our journey and learn about the latest trends, real-life horror stories, and everything you need to know about this fascinating industry. I'm very excited to announce today's guest, Wim Hofkamp, a very, very well-known person in the Dutch cybersecurity market. Wim started his career in 1982 at Akzo Nobel. Here he became the Corporate Information Security Officer. After that, he joined Rabobank, where he was the Chief Information Security Officer for more than 7 years. After being the CISO at Rabobank, he became the Deputy Head of the NCSC, also known as the National Cybersecurity Center of the Netherlands. Wow, that's really cool. In 2020, in the midst of the COVID crisis, he became the Managing Director of ZCERT, the Computer Emergency Response Team for the Dutch healthcare sector. Besides holding director and CISO positions, Wim has been chairman and board member for numerous non-profit organizations as well. Wim, it's so cool to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Laurens.
The first time we met, you invited me for coffee in Istanbul.
Correct.
Could you explain how we met on this rather odd location?
Yeah. I was on a holiday with Renata, my wife, and I was following you while you were on your bike to the World Championship, the Soccer Championship in Qatar. And I asked you a question, I think, what route do you take on the bike? And you told, well, going to that country, and I also go through Turkey. So I asked, are you also stopping by and going to Istanbul? Yes, I'm going to Istanbul. What time are you in Istanbul? I said, wow, that's the time when I'm there. Let's invite him for a cup of coffee. And so we had our first physical meeting in Istanbul. So
yeah, that was very nice.
And it was for you also a special moment, because I think this was your first long break. So you were there for a couple of days, I think.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that because I cycled from Amsterdam to Qatar, and then Istanbul was really the halfway point. And it was also where I entered a new continent. So in Istanbul, you enter Asia. So yeah. That was really something. So it was very nice to have a coffee there. Yeah. No, amazing. I have so many questions. So I just want to jump into it. Can you explain how the early days of computers and security looked like back then?
I started in 82 at the computer department of Akzo Nobel, IT department. At the time, there was no one responsible for security, to be honest. So I started as chief of the computer operations, so in the hardcore of the IT department. And I did it for a couple of years. And after that, I did different jobs. I was, for instance, a project leader for rolling out an AS/300 systems all over Europe.
Yep.
And then I remembered there was they call themselves Hectic. I think it was the first hackers group in the Netherlands, and they had sort of an idea. What if we hack the pharmaceutical part of Akzo Nobel, and we can change the medicine?
Ooh.
It was a theoretical thing, but that was a wake-up call for the board. And they said, okay, how is our information security organized? And at the time, I was the quality manager for the IT department of Akzo Nobel. And they said, quality and security, that sounds a bit like more or less the same. So they asked me, do you want to build up a security policy and a security team within Akzo Nobel? And I said, yes, I will do that. It sounds great.
Yeah.
And then there was Google or something else. So I started, what should I do? How to become a security professional? So I did some search on the internet and talked to some other people. And at the time, I did some courses at manufacturers like IBM and others, and I also started my PhD study. That's correct. Yeah.
But did you already have a feeling back then that this is going to be a big market, a big concern for companies?
Well, it started to become for me a bit of, well, this can be big, because the digitization was becoming very common and also very popular also within the corporates, the multinationals. And at that time, quality insurance was maybe a bit more important than information security. But well, like with quality, security is more or less the same. So you talk about availability, integrity, confidentiality, and also if you look at the quality of the IT systems, you also look at availability of IT systems. So I thought maybe when this whole thing, like this focus on quality of systems, maybe information security can become big.
Yeah.
And besides that, I think this is fun because you're looking at what do hackers do, what can we do to prevent our systems from being hacked. You talk to the innovation part department. So that's the cool thing about information security. And you are responsible for, as I said before, for the availability, integrity, and quality, and confidentiality of like say information. But if information is all over your organization, you talk to everyone, and so you're involved in all kinds of projects and processes. And that's the cool thing about information security. It's not only about looking at how the hackers work and prevent the system from being hacked, but you also talk to the innovation department, the financial department, the HR department. So that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's also gonna stay with us for a while.
For a long time. Yeah, absolutely.
The day the first DDoS attacks happened.
And after being the CISO at Akzo Nobel, so you really became the lead responsible person for cybersecurity or information security.
Yeah.
Then you joined the financial services industry. You go to Rabobank. What was appealing to join financial services?
Well, I liked the period that I worked for Akzo Nobel, but it was already more than 15 years in different jobs, and for the last 5-6 years in information security. I thought, well, if I want to grow and become even a more, let's say, a good professional in this field, then I should either go to the government or go to the financial service industry. And then I saw this this advertisement, and I knew some people at Rabobank, and said, well, you should apply for the job. Maybe that's good to do that, and you'll make a big chance. And
yeah,
that's what happened.
And you stayed around for a while.
I stayed around for a while. I started at the time there was not a CISO role at the Rabobank, so I started at the payments division, which is was one of the large divisions at Rabobank, and they had a small security team. It was very important team because we already saw at the time some. Let's say internet related fraud passing by. So so I learned a lot at that division, at that department, about how the fraudsters work and what to do against it, of course. So when I start joining Rabobank in that same year, the Rabobank launched their internet banking application, and after that the mobile banking app. So that was a good time to start at Rabobank.
Yeah, interesting times.
Yeah.
And I think you stayed for almost 20 years, but the last 7 years you were working.
I was the group CISO, so I was worldwide responsible for information security. A big team with teams all over the world, from Sydney to New York. So I traveled a lot at the time, and a team in Utrecht, of course.
Yeah. And what was it like to be a CISO from such a multi-billion euro organization with people all over the world?
Yeah, well, it was it was sometimes not that easy, but it wasn't a 9-to-5 job, which I didn't expect to have. But anyway, it especially with these new developments on internet banking, mobile banking. At the time, we saw the first malware attacks, phishing attacks, and in 1 or 2 years, we saw the first malware focusing on internet banking. Because every day, I think at Rabobank, we saw at least on the peak days, 1 to 10 million transactions a day. So that's a lot. And you just have to find out those 10 to 20 transactions that are not good. So yeah. that was let's say, pioneer. I'm not sure whether that's an English word.
Yeah, pioneering.
Pioneering, yeah.
And you mentioned it's not a 9-to-5 job. I can imagine that there's a lot of responsibilities on your shoulders as the CISO eventually. How do you deal with such a stressful or high responsibility role?
Well, first thing, you don't do it yourself, by only yourself. You have a big team, and I always said, so if it only depends on me and what I'm doing, it's not good. So if the team is okay and doing a great job, then I'm okay as well. So that's one of my first things. So it's at first it's a managerial role. So if you have a CISO role at a large bank like Rabobank, you are at first a manager. So you also are a formal director. But then you and that's the cool thing of being a CISO. You also have to understand a lot about the content of information security. So it's a mixed job of managing a team, managing projects, but also understanding what information security is and where it's going to. For me, it was really an experience, and it was great to be there when it happened. So we, in 2013, we also had large DDoS attacks at all the top three banks in the Netherlands. That was something I learned a lot. We also came together as CISOs from the three big banks, and we helped each other and we exchanged information. So we always said that information security is not a topic for competition, but the proof is in the pudding. And that was in that time. I had so many calls and information exchange with my peers at the other banks that really felt as we're working together on this topic.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah,
and can you go a bit deeper into that day that the DDoS attacks started happening? What did it look like on your end?
Yeah. Well, we because in 2013, and nowadays DDoS is normal. It happens every day, and there are so many prevention solutions. But in that day, in that time frame, it was, we know it happened in other countries, but in the Netherlands, I think Rabobank was the first large organization that were DDoS at the time, and we had just in a pilot version an anti-DDoS solution in place, but it was only in test mode, not in production mode at the time. So that, well, so in the first day, that was really a sort of a disaster for us, because we had it in the house, but it wasn't in production at the time. And they were heavy attacks, to be honest, very heavy attacks. And they were I didn't sleep a lot those days. And after 3-4 days, we because it came in waves each day, and it became heavier and heavier and heavier. Then we thought, okay, now we're getting more and more in control over this. But at the same time, you also have to deal with customers that are not amused. We try to, let's say, get some information about who's behind these attacks. So you try to collect some evidence, because we know we will report this to the police. So it was something that we said, well, let's do this together. But it was also, well, a bit scary, because we didn't know how, what would be what how this would end, and what will happen the next day, because more serious attacks, other attacks. We said, okay, maybe this is destruction way. Maybe they will hit us on a different way with malware or other attacks. So all kinds of scenarios popped up. So we had a crisis team at Rabobank, where I was part of, and also the head of IT and head of business, of course.
Yeah. And how did your role change then during that week, before and after? Were you taken more seriously?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 And that's started to grow already because the first day after the largest banks introduced the internet banking, we saw the first phishing and malware attacks. So that opened the eyes of the board. But with the DDoS attacks, this they said, okay, this is really serious. Now we have to give that priority. And so that's after that, I get some serious budgets to do some things. And we really did some nice things. So we, a couple of years later, we started with red teaming, things like that. And the team was growing. So we said in every new business development project, we need to have at least one security specialist on board of the team.
Yeah. And if you look back, what is something you wish you knew when you started as a CISO?
Yeah, well, I always thought, well, 100% guarantee, 100% safety or security does not exist. But we said we need to go to that 90.9%. And so I think we came very close to this. It costs a lot of money, and I knew that up front. And you also need to have some backup and some backing from the board level. And in the beginning, I to be honest, I was just part of the big IT and operations departments with a mandate, but it was one of the 100 mandates. There were lots of departments, and I was just one of them. But the big difference because risk management is became more and more important. Compliance became more and more important. But with security is a bit different than compliance. And of course, we needed to meet the security standards, like the ISO 27000 standards, but that's compliance. And we said it's still theoretical, because we still don't know whether it's resilient enough. So we need to test this. So, and when we started doing this testing, I really felt now the department's really getting more important, and they actually started listening to us. So that was good.
Yeah. Maybe the DDoS attacks has helped your mandate. And
that always helps. And it's always sad to think about that an organization needs an incident to wake up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's still practice.
What brought me to the White House?
I sort of want to wrap up the Rabobank, the 2 decades you've worked there.
Yeah.
After that, you decide to join the NCSC, so the National Cybersecurity Center.
Correct.
The Netherlands.
Yeah, correct.
That sounds very, very interesting. What made you decide to switch to sort of a government institution, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, that's government. Well, I didn't did a bike tour to Qatar, but I had the opportunity at Rabobank to take a leave for 3 months, and I thought, okay, maybe it's a good time after almost 20 years to have a break. So I started I did a bike to Rome to Italy, I during that that 3 months, I thought, well, maybe this is also a good time to end my career at Rabobank. After so long a period, you come to a point that you said, okay, I've seen this, I've heard it for the second or third time, and then I thought maybe it's good to move on. And I decided to stay within information security because I still felt that that gave me a lot of energy and that I could add some value to an organization. And it was still fun. But also, I thought maybe it's also good to do something for society. So when I came back to Rabobank, I told the management that I would stay for a couple of months, but then that I would leave the organization. I did it on a meeting in The Hague, where also some people from the Dutch NCC were there. It was on an afternoon, I think a Tuesday afternoon. I thought, well, I will leave Rabobank in a couple of months. So if you, I'm free and I don't know what to do after that 3 months, but I want to stay in information security. And when I drove back home, I got a call from Hans de Vries.
Okay.
So he told me, I heard that you're looking for another job. I said, that's right. And so, that was some of my team members who was also in the meeting. Okay. Do you want to join the NCSC? So let me think about it. What do you have in mind? And he asked me to become a deputy director. There was a management role, was a new management role at the Dutch National Cybersecurity Center.
Yeah, and what do they do? For me, it's still a vague concept.
Okay. Well, the NCSC, National Cybersecurity, is part of the Department of Justice and Security in the Netherlands. So it's a government agency. So they primarily focus on CSIRT tasks. So computer security incident response team for, let's say, the sectors in the Netherlands that are labeled as critical infrastructure.
Yep.
So energy, banks, things like that. And they provide them with new information on new vulnerabilities, but they also support when incidents, cyber incidents happen. But they also, let's say, come up with white papers, things like that about, information security related topics. So they are more or less in the heart of the critical infrastructure of the Netherlands as a network organization.
Yeah, it's in that sense part of the military has the regular the defense army. You're sort of the digital defense army.
Yeah. Correct. And So I thought, well, maybe that's cool. It's still very close to the broad topic of information security with a focus on cyber security. But it's not only for the banking industry; it is also for energy, for the harbors. I think 12 critical infrastructure sectors they provided services to.
And what were some of the most spectacular things you've seen there, or what's a day you will always remember there?
There were more days. So I was there when the Citrix incident happened. That was very close to a serious national crisis. So that was very learnful for me. But also, I did a mission to the U.S., so I had a visit at the White House.
Wow.
So that was also very cool with the security advisor of the president. So these are cool things that you can only do when you work at an organization like the NCSC.
Yeah. Can you go a bit deeper into that? How are you being asked to go to the White House?
Well, that's... No, I can't tell you the details, what topics we discussed.
More how did you feel stepping into the White
House? Yeah, well, that was very special, of course. Well, you also have an organization like NCSC in the US. It's called CISA. The White House itself has also its own security department, which works very closely with organizations like CISA. So we had a discussion with both CISA and the White House Department about some serious topics, geopolitical topics. And that's, I keep it there.
That's very good. You're very well trained. Yeah. But that's amazing that your career took you to the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And still, I only I moved on almost a year later, and I'm sure you wanted to know why, because the NCC environment is pretty cool if you look at the things they do and the people that work there and the topics they do. But how to say this in English? I'm a guy that wants to build. When you're in the heart of a ministry, like the Ministry of Justice and Security, then things don't go with that speed that maybe you expect up front. So I thought it goes too slowly. For me, it was too slowly. I wanted to change things. I wanted to speed up things. And you have to deal with legal advisors, with policymakers, and I thought, well, maybe this costs a lot of energy. Maybe this is not the right place for me with all my energy. That's why I decided, after already a year, to move on to where I'm sitting now at CCERT.
Yeah.
But still, the department is cool. The people that work for NCC is cool. The work they do is fantastic, and it's absolutely neat.
How I built ZCERT.
And can you explain what ZCERT does and why? Yes, ZCERT is
we are not ZCERT is a combination of a Dutch word and an English word. The Z stands for Zorg, which means healthcare. Of health, and CERT, Computer Emergency Response Team. So we were founded in 2017. Last year we celebrated our 5-year anniversary. We still feel a little bit like a startup. So we were founded by a couple of what we call an umbrella organization. One of the reasons was actually because at the time in 2017, healthcare was not critical infrastructure.
Okay.
So the NCSC at the time could not help the Dutch healthcare. And because healthcare is big, very big in the Netherlands, there are more than 50,000 healthcare providers with most of them are we call them eenpitters, so one professional.
Yeah.
Like a dentist or that kind of professionals. But there are almost 1,600 organizations with more than 50 FTE. So that's quite a lot. But still, the ministry had decided they are not critical. Nowadays, with COVID, that will be different. And with the new European law that's coming up, the NIS2 directive, healthcare will be critical infrastructure, but at the time it wasn't. And because digitization became more and more important, also in 2017, those three organizations said we need to come up with some sort of center of expertise. So they started the foundation ZCERT. So we are still a foundation, independent foundation. We get some funding from the government, from the ministry, but the organizations that we support pay us a fee, a yearly fee. With a small team at the time, they start with 6 people. We are now with 32. Very motivated, dedicated people that say, okay, we want to make the healthcare sector the most secure environments in digital space. So it's one of our mottos now. You can see it if you listen to the podcast. We have now a hoodie on with our new motto in Dutch: Nederlandse zorg digitaal veilig. So Dutch healthcare digital safe. That's our motto. And so we have a new strategy and a new motto, and we work on this day on day off.
But it's very cool because you said when you stepped in, there were six people, and now you're with 32. So the what you wanted the fest grow build things again.
We're in Amersfoort, and we will move on to a new floor where we can have at least 70 people in future. So if you want to work for healthcare and you're motivated, just give me a call. And yeah, you have some cybersecurity skills, of course. Just give me a call, and then we will have a talk. And that's so we are now preparing ourselves for this new big challenge because we have to support with this new directive, which will come in 2024, nearly 1.5 years from now. Amid 2024, we have to grow from the 350 organizations that we support now to almost 1,600 organizations. So yeah. We do a lot with automation, but we also need some more people.
Absolutely.
But we do cool stuff, so we do more or less the same things that the NCSC does. So we work very closely with the Dutch NCSC. So we have an operational liaison function in the NCSC. It is 3 days a week or 5 days a week. I think we have one operational liaison in The Hague in the NCSC. So, but we are focusing very much on healthcare providers, of course.
Yeah, but what you mentioned that the mission statement is sort of to make it the most digital safe industry or sector.
Yeah.
But coming from sort of the financial services and then at the NCSC, now stepping into the healthcare sector.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't sound like the most secure and digitalized environment.
There's still a gap, but which we have to overcome. But well, I'm still optimistic about this, and there's still a very, very much a lot of work to do on even on the side of awareness. But it's growing. It's growing.
That's probably good because here you can, with all your experience, you can add the most value. Some sectors might already be way ahead, so their security levels are already a bit higher. But I think in the healthcare sector, there's still much work to be done, but that's also the beauty of it.
Absolutely. And there are differences because if you work for a large bank or in other parts of the financial service industry, well, nowadays, the budgets on information security are amazing comparing to what a CISO of a large hospital has.
Yeah.
And so that there's always an issue with budget and money for information security professionals. But on the other hand, you have to be creative. So if you see the way professionals in healthcare work together, that's amazing. We have a chat forum with almost 400 professionals talking to each every day. And I haven't seen that in the banking industry, to be honest. They talk to each other, they learn from each other, they help each other. So if one guy or girl, a professional, ask a question, can someone help me out with this new app or this new standard? I'm pretty sure that 20 or 30 reactions will pop up in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So there's a very much, let's say, drive to help each other. That you see that all over the healthcare, but also in healthcare, but also in information security. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. And you also have to be creative. So yes, there are a lot of organizations work with all kinds of open source application, but that's okay. If there's a good organization behind it and it works, why not?
Yeah, but I know Zetzer and also some of the people that work there. I think they really do it for the passion and the mission.
Correct.
Not so much. They probably could earn a little bit more at a financial institution, and perhaps if you would have stayed as a CISO,
yes,
things would also look different. But I think it's a very noble, noble thing to do.
So, you get so much in return for this. Maybe the salaries are not the highest, but we try to keep up with at least the minimum market standards, but you also get other things in return, and it still feels like a startup. So if you work or want to work at CCERT, then you also should have an attitude of, okay, I'm not here sitting from 9 to 5. Just do my things. So we give all MPs an opportunity to help building up CCERT with skills that they already have or they want to learn. So it's a combination of a job, let's say a job on the change side of CCERT and also on the run side of CCERT.
Follow your heart.
No, but also for you, I think that biking trip then changed a lot.
It changed a lot. Follow your heart is very important. I did that. So and now I'm here and I'm still having fun.
Yeah.
And think doing good things, but we'll see.
Yeah. And you've been now in the field. Almost 40 years.
Yeah.
What makes it such a...
Some gray hair.
not a lot. But what makes it such an interesting field for you?
It's a combination of... I'm always interested in let's say, crime. How do fraudsters or criminals work? And what... can you do to prevent this? So I also studied law in the past, and I think that was the most fun and interesting part of my study. But also you're working on new technologies. You're part of, the digitization of society and trying to keep that as secure as possible. So think like artificial intelligence. For instance, we see that in healthcare a lot of new AI techniques. So radiologists use a lot of AI in their cancer diagnosis, for instance. But the use of wearables, use of robotics, so that all those new techniques need to be secure. So that's also very cool if you are part of this transformation.
Yeah, it really brings together a lot of different fields. Maybe that's the coolest part of it, because you mentioned law, technology, psychology, so there's a lot that comes together.
I remember it was my first meeting at the board. We had done a red team exercise, and they said, do you know the elevator pitch? I said, okay, you have 2 minutes. And what I'm going to tell in 2 minutes? I said, it shouldn't be something with compliance. So I just said, okay, we had a movie of that red team exercise, a 1 minute movie. I said to the board, relax, sit down and reflect after a minute. So I just showed the movie, and then they were listening. So that's also kind of psychology. So
And I think you probably need to be a bit of a salesperson as well.
Absolutely.
And you need to convince people why that security budget is absolutely crucial.
And the role is changing, because I know many CISOs are very scary about this. Because their role is still an advisory role, they think. And it still is. But if you are on a management level as a CISO and they take you very seriously and you have a direct reporting line to the board, and you get serious money, a serious budget, and then you also have some responsibility. So then the board will tell you, okay, what's your return on investment? So if you spend this 2 million, tell me about it. Are we hacker proof then? And you don't say, sorry, I can't tell you this. And they will tell you, and then, what do you do then with the two million euros? Because then you are part of the business, because they also give money to business managers and they have to come up with some results with that money. And the new CISO also have to come up with some results. And my suggestion is, you can't make promises, but you can tell me, okay, we are to a certain level hacker proof, and I can prove this by simulating a hacker or a serious hack, for instance, with serious red teaming.
Yeah.
And if they can't get through, then you say, okay, we've spent the money in the right way.
Yeah, it's funny because the last question of the podcast is always if there's one signal message that you can send to all CISOs across the world, what would that signal message then say?
That's not an easy job, but I would say think as a business manager. That would be the signal. Try to sit on that chair, and they have the money. They gave you the mandate. So what do you think they would like to hear from you? And what should you answer then?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. That's usually the last question, but since you've been in the field for so long and been the global CISO, you've made it to the White House, you've been speaking with ministers, you've been in the Tweede Kamer, so you've really been everywhere. So I think you really got a lot out of your career. But what would you say to the young people listening to this conversation, perhaps the next generation of CISOs, what advice would you like to give them?
Also here, follow your heart. If you're more a techie guide, then there are a lot of opportunities. If you're more of a more broad interest, then pick a company or a sector that's close to your heart, but also does a lot with digitization, innovation, and start learning from the very first day, because this is really an environment where you can learn. Watch and learn, I should say, and maybe starting with a smaller company, it has some positive things. And the other side, if you work in a big company, that's also a big advantage, because then you learn also other kinds of things about how to convince other people, how to learn to discuss. But keep in mind, the first day is the first day of a new learning episode.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Pleasure was also on my side. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Cybersecurity Talks. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to review and subscribe. For all further information on our live events and new podcast releases, go to csrecruitment.nl. Thank you and stay safe.